To Mark chapter 1 today, Mark chapter number 1. We're studying through this book together. I have preached through the book of Matthew, and if you remember that as I preached through the Gospel of Matthew, if Mark, Luke, and or John spoke about it, then I preached all of that in one message. So since we've preached a lot of Mark, a lot of Luke, a portion of John, we are starting to do what I call our patchwork through the Gospel accounts. So we've moved into Mark, and now we're considering the passages in Mark that you will not find in Matthew. Did I just confuse everybody when I just said that? So anyway, we've moved into Mark and studying the passages that he does not have in common with the Gospel of Matthew. We've come to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I'm taking my sermon title from Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read it together. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm preaching today on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We read verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Let's pray together. I share the thought, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Speak to our hearts, challenge us, forgive my sins, help me to be clean. Somebody lost, save them. We who are saved, change us. Speak to us in a very real way, please. I need your help. I need your power. I pray for it. I've got to have your help, please. Forgive me for hindering in any way, in Jesus' name, amen. Mark opens his gospel by calling it the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's the phrase, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that I want to draw our attention to, because he's the one in these few verses here that is on full display in our text. As a matter of fact, he is the key center of the entire Word of God. Jesus Christ is the one we have the privilege to study in these verses. And as we look at this passage, there are three major thoughts about him that I want you to see with me. And I want us all to ask the Lord right now to speak to our heart in this message that's given. See, I remind you that learning Bible facts is good. You ought to learn Bible facts. But the reason you learn them should be to apply them to your life and allow them to change your life today. In other words, if you go out of here learning a fact about the Bible, but that fact does not change your life, then it didn't help you at all. We need to take Bible facts and apply them to our everyday life. This being the case, I bring out three things about the Son of God today, and I want you to ask God to help the application, how it applies to you to make sense to you. Number one, let's notice first of all this morning, he is praying. We see this in verse number 35, look at it. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. The first thing we see concerning Jesus Christ is how he prayed. One thing we can all learn from the Son of God is the need to pray. Seeing Jesus Christ praying should motivate us to pray. After all, if the blessed Son of God spent time in prayer, how much more should sinful creatures such as you and I spend time in prayer? Now, looking at his prayer life here, there are a couple things I want you to notice about his praying. Number one, under this, we see the priority of his prayer. Let me show you what I mean. It's interesting that the Bible says right here that he rose up a great while before day. Now, let me say this to you. One person put it this way, the duties of the Sabbath had been brutal on him. Talking about just the day before. It had been brutal on him. He had preached in the synagogue and Jesus was confronted by a demon-possessed man. He had cast out that demon. He leaves the synagogue to go to Peter's house for lunch, but when he arrives, he found Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. Jesus healed her. And when sundown came, all the people in Capernaum brought the sick and those possessed with devils for Jesus to heal them. He does this. And no doubt meeting people and helping them way up into the night. Yet, that right there, a late night, did not prevent Jesus from spending time early with his heavenly Father. We're told that Jesus rose a great while before day and went to a secluded place to pray. Now, here's the point. I'm not preaching that you need to rise a great while before day. Preacher does, Miss Lashley does, and I commend them for it. I don't. Glory. Amen. But let me say this to you. What the Lord Jesus Christ is getting across is not necessarily the time you pray, but the priority of your prayer. Let me explain what I'm talking about. The point here is that we are extremely busy. Extremely. Jesus Christ had an extremely busy day the night before right here. But yet he still woke up early in the morning to pray. You know what this tells me? This tells me that prayer was a major priority in the Lord's life. See, it had been said in the gospel. It's been said that in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Jesus Christ is found in prayer no less than 25 times. Among those times would be when he was baptized in Luke chapter 3, when he was transfigured in Luke chapter 9, before he chose his 12 disciples in Luke chapter 6, when he was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14, and on and on and on we can go. Here's what I'm saying to you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made time to pray. He made time. Let me say this to you. Nobody is as busy as Jesus Christ was the night before. Nobody. You ever heard this? I'm just too busy to pray. You're too busy not to pray. What I'm saying to you, I don't even feel worthy to preach on this first point. I'm trying to get through it in a hurry because I'm convicted here. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's prayer life is exactly where it should be, but everybody can make prayer a priority. Everybody can. Let me ask you a question. How much time did you make for the prayer closet last week? I didn't ask how much time did you have. I'm asking how much time did you make. Now, if rising up a great while before day is the only time that you can do it, then you should rise up a great while before day. The fact of the matter is this, we've got to make time for prayer. Here's the fact, we need God. You need Him, so do I. There's not a person here that doesn't need God. Not one person. I need Him. You know what we say when we don't pray? I don't need you today. That's what we're saying. Now, is that true? Do we need Him? Absolutely. But when you choose not to pray, what you're telling God is, I can handle it on my own. Can I say something to you? I can't handle it on my own. I need the help of God. We're looking at Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His praying. First thing, the priority of it. He made time to pray. Let us make time to pray. And let me say this to you. Yes, and I'm getting ready to bring this out, but you can pray at any place, any time, as long as your heart is right with God. I cannot tell you how many times it's happened to me when I'm studying the Bible, or when I've got a busy day or something like that. There's things I'm trying to get to, and in my heart, I feel the impression, get alone with God. Talk to me. You know what He's doing? He's testing me at that time. Because He knows I've got a lot to do. And He knows that I'm trying to get ready for Wednesday night, God. I'm trying to get ready for Sunday morning, Sunday night. I don't have time. Wait a minute. When the Holy Spirit said, by the way, the devil's not going to say you need to pray today. The devil's not going to say, hey, you need to talk to God, right? The devil's not going to do that, friends. The Lord God of heaven is the one that impresses. The Holy Spirit impresses. You need to spend some time with me. Now, I hope that you understand what I'm talking about there. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I feel sorry for you. Because, friends, the fact is when you're walking with God, God, He pumps that prime. He wants to hear you throughout the day. Hey, should you have a solitary place? Yes. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But let me say this to you. We ought to be praying all day long. All day long. You know, some of the greatest prayer times I have is in my truck. Turn the radio off and talk to God. Now, don't close your eyes when you're driving. But talk to God. I'm telling you that we need to make prayer a priority. Let me ask you a question. Look at your life last week. Look at your life today. and ask yourself, was prayer truly a priority? Now only you can answer that. And only I can answer that in my life. First, the priority of prayer. Secondly, we see the place of prayer for the Lord Jesus here. We see this where it says he went to a solitary place. Now, this solitary place, it infers a desert place. That teaches us that solitude is important. In other words, it is important to get alone with God. Friends, listen to me. It is not enough to meet corporately as a congregation. In other words, when I call on Brother Keegan or call on some of you all to pray or I pray here in public, hey, that's good, that's needed, but that's not all that's needed. What am I saying here? I'm saying that corporate prayer, praying together, that's a great thing, but friends, we all need to get alone with God in the prayer closet. It's not enough to meet with your family. Now let me ask you a question. Should this church pray together? Yes. Should your family pray together? Yes. But you need personal time alone with God. You need that. I need that. I'm telling you, and oftentimes this means a solitary place. See, that's why the Lord Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount that we ought to go into a closet and there pray to our Father in secret. The point here is there are times we must get up and get away from people and things in order to have uninterrupted communion with our Heavenly Father. Here's the principle. There were people all the time wanting the Lord's attention. They all the time were coming after him. And that's a good thing. And he spent time with them. Yet here we see he deliberately chose to get away from the crowds, away from the busyness, and get alone with his Father. We need a solitary place to get alone with God. The Lord was ministering to people's needs much during his lifetime. However, he knew he needed to meet in private with his Father before he met people in public to minister to their needs. When we consider the prayer life of Jesus Christ, and prayer was a priority with him, and how he got away from distractions, let us realize, as one person put it, a praying master like Jesus can have no prayerless servants. Did you hear what I just said? A praying master like Jesus can have no prayerless servants. See, the example of the Lord set in prayer needs to be followed in our lives. And let me apply this. We're looking at Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is praying. The priority of it. He made time to do it. The place of it. He got away from the busyness. He got away from the people. He got away from the things. Now, let's apply this to our lives. I hope that you are applying it already. But first of all, listen, we need to make prayer a priority. Let us beware of being too busy to spend time in prayer with God. If the Lord was too busy to spend time in prayer, if he was not too busy to spend time in prayer, then you and I don't have any excuses. We have no excuses. As a matter of fact, if we don't make time for prayer, you're making time for something else. That's the truth. The old saying, and I like to eat and I like to do other things, but if you make time to eat, you make time for prayer too. There's one person that said this, talking about the Bible, but it applies to prayer here. No Bible, no breakfast. No Bible, no breakfast. Let me ask you a question. Which one's more important, your breakfast meal or talking to God? Now this cuts me because my prayer life is not where it should be. I pray every day of my life, many times throughout the day, but I don't pray like I should. I'm begging God for things. I'm pleading with God for things. But anybody who says, boy, I've spent enough time with God today, they don't understand God. You listening to me? You cannot spend enough time with him. When you know who he is, he's God. He has the hairs of your head numbered, not counted, numbered. You know what that means? It's not my notes. I always get in trouble when I get away from my notes. But the Bible does not say the hairs of your head are counted. It says they're numbered. There's a difference. If I walked down and pulled out a hair out of my head right here, if they were counted, God would know how many I have left. But if they're numbered, He knows which one I pulled out. Amen. If He knows that much about you, let me ask you a question. Hey, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, that's still the truth. Hey, the God who had His Son die for you, the God that I'm talking about, the angels are bowing down saying, Thou art worthy, Thou art, He wants to spend time with you. And He wants to spend time with me. And so many times I say, not today. Not now. You know what that tells me? We don't really see who He really is. We need to spend time with Him. We also need to get away from the things of the world and spend time in solitude praying to our Heavenly Father. One person put it this way, we shall do well to watch our habits of prayer with a holy watchfulness. Here is the pulse of our Christianity. Here is the true test of our state before God. Here true religion begins in the soul when it does begin. Here it decays and goes backward when a man backslides from God. Let us walk in the steps of our blessed Savior in this respect as well as in every other. Like Him, let us be diligent in our private devotion. Let us know what it is to depart into solitary places and pray. You know, I found these statements, and I'm reading them because I don't want to miss what it's saying. Listen to this. A public man, or woman, for that matter, though he or she is necessarily available at many times, must learn to hide. Now get this. If he is always available, he's not worth enough when he is available. Did you hear that statement? If he's always available, he's not worth enough when he is available. In other words, we've got to have some non-negotiables. One non-negotiable must be unhurried time in prayer with God. Though we minister and though we serve others, if we are not truly, right here, we are not going to be truly useful to others unless we starve ourselves of others at times. You mean, you say, what are you saying? Are you saying that you're not there for me 24 hours a day? I'm here every time you call, but it's not on your time schedule. I'm here every time you need me. That's the heart of a pastor. And if you need me immediately, I'll do my best to be there. I hope I've proven that to you. But I'm telling you, here's the point here, friends. The point is this. There must be time in my day when you call the church office that they don't know where they can find me. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get this? There must be certain times. It doesn't have to be the same time of the day, but it's a good thing if you call the house sometime and my wife says, I don't know where he's at. Now, my wife always knows where I'm at. So that's not going to happen. You understand? But the principle behind this is that we must make time for God in prayer. And if I'm spending, listen to me, if your pastor does not spend time feeding in communion with God, I'm of no value to you, friends. I can't help you anyway. Is it good for a pastor to be on call 24 hours a day? Yes, and I am. Call me day or night. I mean it. Call me day or night. But don't be surprised if you do call me and the answer machine picks up first. If it does, and it's a little while before I get back to you, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm not as important as some of his members. It could be, it should be, maybe that's the time that I've set apart for my solitary time. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Do you get this? Please don't misunderstand me. Please don't leave today saying, the pastor said don't call him. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said, call me day or night, anytime. But I'm saying to you that if I'm always available, I'm of no use. I'm of no use. There must be time on a daily basis when you cannot get in touch with me, when you cannot get me and I pick up the phone. There must be a time. There's got to be a time when I get away from the cell phone. There's got to be a time when I get away from all of that, away from distractions, away from different people, and away from things, because I've got to be drawing strength from God. So when you do call, I'm on call. And if I'm there, I'll come help you any way I can. You understand what I'm saying to you? Please don't misunderstand what I'm preaching. We've got to have times when nobody can get us, because that is our time with God. And we've got to have that time. You've got to have it. So do I. So do I. One person said, I think I'm still learning it, to realize that if I'm going to be continually giving out, and you're going to be continually giving out as Jesus was ministering out, there has to be some time in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year where you take in. That's what I'm preaching. You know what the life of a pastor is? Giving, 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 giving. And it should be that way. And if a pastor ever criticizes or ever complains, even if he never says it in public but it's in private, his heart is not right with God. It is a life of service, service, service. Give your time, give your money, give it, give, give, give. That's the life of a pastor. But if I'm constantly giving out but never taking anything in, eventually I'm going to run out, friends. And I'll start giving things I shouldn't give, like a critical spirit, like a complaining heart. You show me somebody who complains about what God's given them to do, I tell you, somebody who has neglected the prayer closet. Now, can I say this to you? Too many times I've done just that. I'm talking about neglecting the prayer closet. I'm asking you a question. Do you know you need Him? Do you know you need Him? And I want you to know that our staff and your pastor, we are here for you 24 hours a day. But when you call, if we answer, wonderful. If we're not in the prayer closet, we'll be there immediately. And if somebody knows where to come and get us, they'll come get us if it's a big enough emergency. But you ought to pray as a church, God, keep it where there are times during the day I can't find Him. Keep it where there are times where I can't find my Sunday school teacher. Keep it where there are times when nobody knows where He's at, but everybody knows what He's doing. I never did know where a preacher went over on the lake. I just knew he was on the lake somewhere. I'm telling you, we need God. One person said, prayer is the absolute non-negotiable requirement for a life of power in the things of God. Let me ask you a question. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Is prayer truly a priority in your life? Are you getting away from people and things in order to pray to your Heavenly Father? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that 24 hours a day you're locked up in a closet. No, it's an attitude. It means throughout the day you're praying. You're just praying all the time. You're just talking to God. Talking to Him. You know, there are times when I'm preaching when I'm asking God to help me silently. You don't know that, but I do. You don't know when it is, but I do. There are times when I'm preaching when in my heart I'm praying, God, help me get this across. God, forgive me for that. That wasn't right. I don't want to hinder You. I'm not lifting myself up as an example. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm saying this. You can pray anytime, any place, as long as your heart's right with God. Let's talk to God. Let's pray to Him. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, I've learned something else preacher, you set the example in this, but I've learned that when I take time to pray, I get the things I need to get done that day. If I neglect prayer, in other words, I don't remember the last day in my life when I didn't pray. I don't remember it. I've prayed constantly for years, but there are times when I should have spent more time in prayer, but I got in a hurry. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I know none of y'all have ever gotten a hurry in the prayer closet, okay? But I got in a hurry. And times when I put God on a timetable, it seemed like I slipped up elsewhere. But when I deliberately take time to slow down and spend time with Him, it's amazing how He helps you get things done. That's checked and that's checked. And boy, and you look back on it and say, man, that was a productive day. And you look back and say, why? God says, because you gave it to me, that's why. This is His prayer. Number two, let's notice His purpose. This is found in verses 36 to 39. I've given myself about 10 or 15 minutes, and I'm still doing fine here. Verse 36. Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. He said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there. Get this, for therefore came I forth. This is the purpose I came. Okay? Simon Peter, along with others, came seeking the Lord. When they found him, they told him, they said, all men are seeking for you. All men where? In the city he just preached in. In the place he just did these miracles in. The Lord, the day before, had helped many of these people and cast out demons. Luke tells us they tried to get the Lord to stay there. Stay with us, please. Stay with. Don't depart. Stay right here. Don't go anywhere else. But we see the Lord telling them His purpose was not to go to one place. His purpose was to preach everywhere. Everywhere. Now in this, there's a couple of things. First of all, this is His purpose. Talking about His purpose was to preach in every city, all over, not to be confined to one place. Hey, He visited there. He did mighty works there. He preached the gospel there, but He didn't come to stay there. He came to be spread abroad. He came to go everywhere. He came to preach everywhere. A couple of things we see here. Number one, the importance of preaching. The Lord in His sovereignty has chosen to share the good news of the gospel primarily through preaching. He told these people that He was sent to preach to others. And let me say this to you. There are times that we do certain things here, like the Christmas Cantata. It's a great thing. It's a great event. We do it every year. And God willing, we're not going to stop that. There's times that we major on other things. But if those things ever take the place of preaching, this is not a New Testament local church. The New Testament local church is to be built, and the primary purpose is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. And Jesus has put His stamp of approval on preaching. This is what He wants to be done. One person put it this way, and I quote, "We ought to observe here what infinite honor the Lord Jesus puts on the office of the preacher. It's an office which the eternal Son of God Himself undertook. He might have spent His earthly ministry in instituting and keeping up ceremonies like Aaron. He might have ruled and reigned as a king like David, but He chose a different calling. Until the time when He died as a sacrifice for our sins, He daily and almost hourly worked as a preacher. There are many now who sneer at missionaries and mock at those who go out on the highways of our land to preach to crowds in the open air. But such persons would do well to pause and consider calmly what they are doing. The very work which they ridicule is the work which turned the world upside down and cast heathenism to the ground. Above all, it's the very work which Christ Himself undertook. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords Himself was once a preacher. For 3 long years He went to and fro proclaiming the gospel. Sometimes we see Him in a house, sometimes on a mountainside, sometimes in a Jewish synagogue, sometimes in a boat on the sea. But the great work He took up was always one and the same. He always came preaching, and He always came teaching. The faithful preacher of the gospel is handling the very weapon which the Son of God was not ashamed to employ. This is the work which Christ has said, therefore came I forth. He said he came forth to preach to every city. Let us at this church never try to replace the preaching of God's word. Never. I'm not saying I'm much of a preacher, but I be one. I am a preacher. God has called me to preach. And I'm on Twitter now. Good night. What? I've tweeted every now and then. Whatever the case that may be. And I put on it last night. I was thinking there, laying in my bed, right before I went to sleep. And I said, I am blessed to be called to preach the Bible. And I am blessed to spend the rest of my days telling people what God said. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There is no vocation like being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not belittling anything else, because whatever God tells you to do, that's the greatest thing for you, and there's no vocation for you just like what God's called you to do. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be a preacher than anything else I know. I'd rather be a preacher of the gospel than anything else I know. God has put his stamp of approval. Jesus Christ came with the purpose to preach the gospel to every city. Every city. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. It doesn't say rap it. It doesn't say sing it. It doesn't say dramatize it. It says preach it. And the fact of the matter is this. There's a time that we dramatize it. There's a time that we sing it with our great hymns. But God, listen to me, it's not by the singing that God has chose to save this world. It's by the preaching of the gospel. We need to focus on preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 put it this way, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. His purpose was to preach in every city. We learn in that the importance of preaching. Secondly, we learn in that the intent of the message. The Lord made it plain to these people who wanted to keep him there with him to stay that he would go to other cities and preach to them. In other words, this message of salvation is not just for a select group. This message of salvation is not to be confined to one location. It's to be spread around the world. He had not come just to some right here, just so some could hear the truth, but he came that all can hear the truth. One person said Jesus turned down the opportunity for fame because he wanted everyone to hear the message of hope. The point here is the message of salvation found only in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be spread to all people. Let us see our responsibility to get the gospel around the world. Around the world. This is the purpose of Jesus Christ. He came to preach the gospel to every city. Which means until every city has the gospel preached, our job is unfinished. And our job is undone. Number one, we've noticed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've noticed his praying. Number two, we've noticed his purpose. And quickly, number three, we see his power. We see this in the latter part of verse number 39. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, cast out devils. I like that phrase there, he cast out devils. Here, it's interesting to note how the Word of God tells us that the Lord not only preached in other places, but he cast out devils. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the devil powerful? Absolutely. Matter of fact, if you try to fight him in your flesh, you'll never win. He's powerful. The Bible says here, he didn't cast out the devil. The Bible says he cast out devils, plural. Now, these devils were demons. Are demons powerful? Yes or no? Absolutely. But when the Son of God came into cities preaching the Word of God, the Bible just says, oh, and he cast out devils. I mean, what's that mean? That means that he had power even over the devils. This tells me that he has enough power to help me with my needs. Since Jesus Christ had enough power to cast out devils, he can meet my needs too, friends. He has power today. I don't know what your need is, but I know he has the power to meet it. Psalm 29:4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Matthew 28:18, the Lord came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, let me conclude this message. In this passage, we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is on display for us. We can glean some help from his praying, from his purpose, from his power. From his praying, we should learn that just like he made prayer a priority, so should we. Just like he got away from the world and away from the things and away from the people, so should we. And if a pastor or a minister or a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, yes, we're always on call. I mean, my phone is always on, if you will. And even if you call and I don't answer, leave me a message. And as soon as I can, I'll get back in touch with you. But if it's 30 minutes, why don't you pray, God, I hope it's not because he's ignoring my phone call, okay? Why don't you pray, God, make it that he's on his knees right now so when he does call me, he'll give me the right answer. And if it's something that you need me to pray with you about that his prayer can get through, hey, why don't the next time you call me and I don't answer, why don't you make that a time of prayer and say, God, help him to be in the secret place right now. That's all I'm saying. That I'm on call, but if you ever call and I don't answer, leave me a message, because it could be that I'm drawing strength in the prayer closet so that when I do answer you, now I'm ready to help you. Amen? Get alone with God. His purpose was to preach. Let us focus on preaching. Let us focus on the Bible, teaching it and preaching it. But let us not just try to keep it confined to one place. Let us spread it to every city, every place, every country. His power, he has enough power to cast out devils. Surely he has enough power to meet my needs. Simple message, I know. But will you let it change your life? If one person listening to me today will get on fire in the prayer closet, there's no telling what will happen in your life. And may God help you. May God help me. And may he help you see what I've been preaching. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time. Help us, I pray. Challenge us with your word. Challenge us, Lord, with the things of God. And show us what you'd have us to do. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. They're beginning to play through softly. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe the Lord is dealing with your life. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you in a very real way. I want to ask you a question as they begin to play softly. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? The Bible says that this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you know Him as your Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Master? Are you a born-again child of God? If not, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe this morning God is really challenging your heart about your prayer life. Hey, my prayer life's not everything it should be. I need to get alone more with God. I need to spend more time in the solitary place. I need to get away from the cell phone more than I do. I need to get away from people and things more than I do. So that way when I am among people and ministering to people, that I have the power of God on my life. It's not me and my flesh trying to meet your needs. I can't do that. Please understand what I'm saying. Or maybe God's speaking to your heart about helping to spread the gospel to other cities, because that's his purpose. His purpose was never to come to one group of people and never be spread around. His purpose has always been that the whole world may know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you doing your part in that? You say, where do I start? With your neighbors, with your neighborhood, with your co-workers, with your family members. Get involved in Faith Promise Missions and help us send missionaries around the world. Or maybe God's speaking to you because you really have a need in your life. I mean, you've got a major need. And the Lord's speaking to you because the power he has to cast out devils, that he also has the power to help you meet your needs. Is there somebody today, say, Jody, in one of these areas, it might be your prayer life, it might be helping spread the gospel, it might be a special need you have, or it might be the gospel and just not knowing you're saved. If you're raising your hand to anything right now, would you say, Jody, pray for me. God is speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Could be your prayer life, something else. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hands down. You may be here and not know the Lord as your Savior. We give an invitation. You come. We'll take a Bible and share with you the gospel. You say that's embarrassing. Hey, you should never be embarrassed to accept Christ. You'd only be ashamed if you don't. As the invitation is extended, we're going to invite you to come. If you need Jesus, if you want to come ask God to help with your prayer life, if you have a special need, you really need His power, if you just want to help get the gospel to other cities, whatever it is, you come. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless and use in a great way. In Jesus' name. Your head is bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary sings, you come as God has spoken. Would you do that? Come now, please.
Have thine own way.
Come now. Right in your place. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. I appreciate you coming. Let's ask God to be with us on our big day. Ask Him to meet with us as we try to win people to Christ. And I want to challenge you as you leave to understand that we need the Lord. Let's spend more time with Him this week than we ever have. Let's spend more time in the prayer closet this week than we ever have. Let's ask God to give us His power and help us in this veil of tears. I'm going to ask Brother John Rourke, please, if you'll lift your voice and pray for us, please.